Your very good. I'm freezing right now.
I to move from my flats to get to my study.
Sure. So I've been away from Isla now for more than a month. Only arrived from Durban yesterday.
Yes, from the other committee. I was worried when I realized that there was an accident reported.
Sure. We nearly died. I was just praying that the combi doesn't roll.
You were in the combi.
Those combis that the shuttle that we use.
But of course, when they said nothing fatal, then.
Our driver was very, very good. Otherwise, I think three cars were involved.
Yo.
They're trying to avoid the peak.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Yes. Problem that there was a long convoy of cars, you know.
That's a problem with convoys.
And and the distance in between. Sure.
Okay.
So if one is stopping, others are unable to stop quickly enough, to avoid. Let's open. It's now 10 o'clock. Good morning, honorable members, morning staff of the committee, the Department of Trade, Industry, and Competition. I don't know if Ms. Patia was leading the delegation.
Apologies from the minister and both deputy ministers. So the person leading the delegation is the acting DG, Mr. Khan. Mr. Khan.
Mr.
Mr. Khan.
Oh, Mr. Khan. Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. Are there any apologies from members?
Yes, she. In terms of members, we've got standing apologies from Honorable Lansman and Honorable Matabula.
Yeah. Okay. I just received an apology from Honorable Amara Khan. She's attending the appropriations meeting, committee meeting. Yeah. Okay. Let me formally then open the meeting and welcome honorable members, Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. And I will quickly hand over to Mr. Khan, the acting DG.
Greetings, Honorable Chairperson, members of the Select Committee, staff of the committee, colleagues.
Recording in progress.
Chairperson, the delegation from the department this morning consists of various branches. I think in line with the request from the Select Committee, we thought it's important that we do get representatives from the key branches of the department. The presentation this morning will be led by Ms. Rekha Jiwon, who is the Acting Deputy Director General for the Incentive Branch. This Incentive Branch is the unit responsible for the management and administration of all incentives deployed by the department, such as grants, loans, the tax incentives, as well as various other support measures, including the infrastructure support, which will be unpacked later in the presentation. Within this branch as well, we do have Ms. Shireen Osman, Mr. Justice Nguyenia, as well as Mr. Harvey Fulion and Ms. Varsha Harinat. We also in the delegation have the colleagues from the Spatial Industrial Development Unit, which is the unit largely responsible for the SEZ program, as well as the Industrial Parks program. And this unit largely deals with the designations of SEZ, as well as assisting with some of the governance issues. We've also do, within this unit, we do have Mr. Mautu Malofane, who's the acting DDG, Mr. Tami Klassen, and we also do have Ms. Tinika Jensma, who is part of the IDC team that's also responsible with the on the SEZ program. Stinica does work with the former Director General, Mr. Lionel October, in supporting these programs. Chair, I will provide a few introductory remarks. The presentation will be led by the Acting DDG for Industrial Finance. This is the unit, as I've indicated, is largely responsible for the incentive management and administration. Chair, within this unit and in line with the request from the select committee, there are three broad financial instruments which the department deploys in order to support infrastructure development. These instruments also allows for the department to have a spatial footprint in provinces and as well in the districts as well. The first one, Chair, is the SEZ program. And this is largely governed by the SEZ Act, as well as the SEZ Fund, which administers the incentive support from this program. The next one is the Industrial Parks Program. Okay, the department supports infrastructure development, predominantly in state-owned industrial parks. And lastly, the Critical Infrastructure Program, which is a program that aims to leverage investment by supporting infrastructure across the country. Chair, with those remarks, I would then invite Ms. Rekha Jiwon to then lead the presentation and take the meeting through it as well. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson.
Morning.
Good morning, Honorable Select Committee members, DTIC colleagues, the IDC colleagues, ministry colleagues, as well as all other colleagues that are on the platform. Thank you very much for flagging the presentation. I will kick start off with the contents of the presentation, which will cover essentially six areas. That is the overview of the industrial infrastructure cluster, the SEZ zone, special economic zones, critical infrastructure program, industrial parks, the summary of the performance, province and the district reporting. Next slide. Just on the overview of the industrial infrastructure cluster, the industrial financing branch within the DTIC supports industrialization of the parks through incentivizing infrastructure development. The industrial infrastructure cluster is made up of three areas, that is the special economic zones, the critical infrastructure program, with a link to the industrial parks. Next slide. I'm going to touch on the SEZ performance, and I'm going to be highlighting the noteworthy approvals. The SEZ are geographically designated areas reserved for targeted economic activities in order to promote trade, economic growth, and industrialization. To date, there are 11 designated SEZs operating across seven provinces and other proposed or being planned in the Northwest, Free State, Northern Cape provinces. Eight of these 11 SEZs have applied for the SEZ incentive and have received disbursements. If you look at the SEZ's approvals and disbursements over the 2013-2014 period, right up until 31 March 2022, the Kuka IDZ
had an approved amount of 2.5 billion rands, of which 1.9 billion rands has been disbursed for leveraging an investment of 11.2 billion rands, and has created 8,019 jobs. The other big approval was around the Richards Bay IDZ, and that was for an approval amount of 915.5 million rands, with the disbursement amount of 369.3 million rands for an investment leverage of 352 million rands. And although the jobs created were fairly low of 90, the investment has, that was leverage was quite high. Then moving on to the Saldanha IDZ, where the approval amount was 949 million rands, 588 has been disbursed for an investment amount of 295 million with 190 jobs created. The Swane Auto SEZ, quite a large approval there of 3.3 billion rands, and a big disbursement of 3.2 billion rands for an investment of 360 million rands leverage and 625 jobs created. You would notice, although the approval amount may be smaller in other IDZs, they are quite labor intensive. For example, the East London IDZ, which created 3,223 jobs, and the Duba Trade Port with 4,057 jobs. Next slide. On the critical infrastructure program performance, the SIP aims to leverage investment by supporting infrastructure that is deemed to be critical, thus lowering the cost of doing business. Infrastructure is deemed to be critical if the investment could not take place without the funding from the SIP, or if the investment would not operate optimally. For the period since inception, which was 2016-2017 to 31 March 2022, the approvals amount to 739 million rands with disbursements of 368 million rands for an investment that was facilitated of 21 billion rands. To this end, there were 12,460 jobs created in the construction area, and new jobs that were created were 26,000. And this encompasses Black, female, and youth at 6,492 jobs, 1,678 jobs, 3,896 jobs, respectively. Next slide. On the with regard to the industrial parks performance, under the CIP, the DTI supports infrastructure development in state-owned industrial parks as part of the state-owned industrial parks revitalization program. The program is implemented in a phased approach, and since inception, 840 million rands has been approved for industrial parks in various provinces. The implementation of the program is divided into five progressive phases as of 31 March 2022, and 12 industrial parks have completed phase one, six were approved for phase two, and two new industrial parks were approved for phase one in 2021-2022. Over the period 2016-17 until March 2022, the noteworthy performance was coming from the Free State province in the industrial park Botshabelo, where the claim amount amounted to 49.7 million rands, and the jobs created there were 288 jobs. Further to that, in the Babeliaki industrial park in Gauteng, we have disbursed 76.7 million rands, creating 277 jobs. The Northwest province, Mukwasi Industrial Park, we have dispersed 84.4 million rands and created 284 jobs. Along with that, you would find that there are footprints in the Eastern Cape, the Free State, the Gauteng, the KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, and Northwest provinces. Next slide. Industrial infrastructure performance, and this would cover the SEZs, the critical infrastructure program, as well as the industrial parks. And in 2021-22, we supported 660 million rands of approvals for industrial infrastructure projects that will collectively invest 13 billion rands into the economy. The investment includes 11.8 billion rands in largely rural districts and townships, such as OR Tambo in the Eastern Cape, Amajuba, Ilembe, King Sesweyo in KwaZulu-Natal, Bembe in Limpopo, Elanzeni in Mpumalanga, Zedef Matau in the Northern Cape, townships of Karankua and Shashinguwe in the city of Swane Metropolitan Municipality in Gauteng, and KwaMashu, Phoenix, and Verulam in the eThekwini Metropolitan Municipality in KZN. Next slide. Continued on the 2022 performance, the industrial infrastructure projects are expected to create 14,000 direct jobs and 35,000 construction jobs. These include 10,000 direct and 22,000 construction jobs that will be created by a project in Amhlanga in the eThekwini Metropolitan Municipality, and that will be using employees from the townships of KwaMashu, Phoenix, and Verulam. 500 direct and construction, 500 direct and 600 construction jobs that will be created project in Roslyn, which is in the city of Swane, for people from Karankua and Swasimbuwe townships in this municipality. 3,000 direct and 11,000 construction jobs are projected for the rural district municipalities of OR Tambo, Lembe, Kingsleshweyo, Vembe, Eshlalesheni, and Zedef Mahau. Next slide. The industrial infrastructure is also, we've given, broken down the analysis into province and districts, and the Eastern Cape province has been supported by the incentives, the SEZ and the industrial parks, and the support was received for top structure, bulk infrastructure such as electricity, waste, and roads. And the districts that were supported were Nelson Mandela Bay Metro Municipality, Buffalo City Metro Municipality, OR Tambo, Kuswani District Municipalities. And the benefits there included upgrading, revitalizing the districts, procuring from SMMEs, and there the approval date was 4.9 billion rands, the disbursement being 4 billion rands, actual investment 16.8 billion rands, and direct jobs 11,000. Just to highlight some of the areas of achievement, the development of Queen Industrial Park substation has made a difference in the region by distributing electricity to the nearest townships, Isibeleni, Komani Hospital, Fiercos, Stevenson's Road, Colleen, and Zellweger. The local SMMEs, such as Lohozi Consulting Engineers, benefited by obtaining a contract to erect the substation. In the Vulindela Industrial Park, there is currently 87% occupancy rate and has employed 866 people on a full-time basis. there's an expectation that more occupants will create more jobs. In the Wild Coast Industrial Park, it is anticipated to grow the agro-processing and hospitality industries in this region. At the moment, there is a 43% unemployment rate, with the hope that there would be high potential for job creation in both Mtata and Mkwaduli community for Mkwaduli community members. Next slide. The Free State province has been supported by the SEZs, the critical infrastructure and industrial parks for bulk infrastructure in the Mangaung Metropolitan Fazile Dabi District municipalities. And the benefits there was job creation in the textiles, electrical, plastic, poultry, food processing industries in the Portobello townships. The contracting of local SMMEs during the upgrade of electrical substations to provide power to local manufacturers of phosphate. The approvals to date were 651 million rands, claims disbursed were 337 million rands, with the actual investment that had materialized was 1.1 billion rands. Construction jobs supported were 300, as well as direct jobs of 900. The main purpose for the Botshabelo Industrial Park was to create employment for the community. The renovation has attracted 500 million rands of investment so far and created 5,000 permanent jobs through the full functionality of 108 factories. The DTIC is also rolling out digital hubs in various industrial parks, utilizing factory space to house B-hubs. Next slide. In the Gauteng province, the CIP industrial parks and SEZs incentives have supported the province for bulk infrastructure, property development, top structure and feasibility studies. And the districts there that were supported was the City of Tshwane Metropolitan, City of Johannesburg Metro, City of Ekurhuleni municipalities. And this was for upgrading of infrastructure in the municipalities for job creation, as well as local supplier development for various automotive component suppliers. SMEs were also contracted during the construction period, and this has been retained for maintenance. The approval to date was 4.7 billion rands. The claim disbursed was 4 billion rands. The actual investment was 21.5 billion rands. Construction jobs supported were 6,000 and direct jobs were 11,000. In the Babalierki Industrial Park, the revitalization of the state-owned park was to create jobs. Through the revamp, functional companies have opened doors for employment to the local people in Hammanskraal. Projects that were supported in the Tshwane Automotive SEZ helped with similar benefits of improved market access, focused skills and knowledge training and development, reduced transportation costs, reduced input costs, indirect jobs associated with transport, logistics, and maintenance. And there were also temporary jobs during the construction phase that were also created. Next slide. The KwaZulu-Natal province was supported by the CIP, the Industrial Parks and SSZ Fund, and that was for bulk infrastructure, property development, top structure feasibility studies in the Etekwini Metro, Amatobo District, Ilembe, King Sesweo District municipalities. And the benefit was for the local community in terms of job creation. The revitalization also attracted investment. Local SMEs were contracted during the construction of the mall and residential buildings, as well as local procurement of local materials. The approvals to date was 1.4 billion rands. Disbursements to date were 735 million rands, with the actual investment that was took place of 2.6 billion rands, and jobs that were created. Direct was 5,000, as well as construction jobs of 300. And through the development of the mall and residential buildings in Slanga, jobs were created for the neighboring communities, as well as SME local procurement. In addition, the taxi and bus industry also benefited through increased number of commuters to and from work. The Danhausen local municipality also the development of the industrial area there provided employment opportunities for the nearby community and had also improved stormwater systems, bulk electrical reticulation to improve access to clean water and electricity in the area. The King Faka Mall and Civic Center in the Padubuza local municipalities helped with the upgrade to allow the Civic Center to house government activities, freeing up space in the central business district for other commercial activities, while the upgrades at the mall also expected to attract more business and, you know, reducing the need for the community to travel for shopping and creating jobs as well in the area. Next slide. The CIP and the industrial parks also was supported the Limpopo province, and that was for bulk infrastructure feasibility studies in the Bembe district, Capricorn district municipalities, for revitalizing two local municipalities through upgrading commercial blocks, residential areas, as well as contracting local SMEs during the construction phase. The approval there was 188.8 million rands, disbursements 87 million rands, projected investments was 2.8 billion rands, construction jobs as well as direct jobs was 1,400 and 400 respectively. The Collins Shabane local municipality project is a mixed development project, and it consists of retail, commercial, residential, and hospitality. And 30% of the construction value will be allocated to local SMEs. 90% of the unskilled labor will be sourced from Nkuzana area, which is a distressed area with a 75% unemployment rate. Once the construction of the mall for the Makado local municipality is completed, we expect to attract new business to uplift the community and job creation and reduce the number of job seekers having to leave the area in search for jobs. The next slide. The Mpumalanga province, has been supported by the SIP program, and that was for bulk infrastructure and feasibility studies in the Ishlazeni district municipalities for skills development, processing, and creation of jobs. Approval to date, 77 million rands, disbursements, 37 million rands, actual investment was 90 million rands, construction jobs and direct jobs were 2,800 and 2,300 respectively. The main purpose for the redevelopment and expansion of the Bushbuck Ridge Mall is to alleviate poverty through creating jobs in the vulnerable community. If found feasible, the biocombustible brands project will create job opportunities for the Nkomasi population. And the collaborating technical partner has agreed to impart skills of manufacturing of production of plastic material to BBSA and its employees. Next slide. The Northwest province has been supported by the CIP and the industrial parks for bulk infrastructure for Bojanala Platinum District and Dr. Ruth Segomotsi Mompati districts. And this was for upgrading of infrastructure to attract future investors. The approval to date is 140 million grants with a disbursement of 125 million grants for a projected investment of 2 billion rands. The jobs there are 700 direct jobs and construction jobs of 90. Here, the Body Relo Industrial Park is occupied by tenants such as engineering companies, management companies, wholesalers, equipment retail, manufacturing companies, and has open job opportunities for Mogwazi population. The Lekwa Timani local municipality has also implemented electrical reticulation infrastructure support project. And the project is required to upgrade power lines and with the future economic development in the surrounding industrial areas. Next slide. The Northern Cape province has been supported now under the industrial part for bulk infrastructure for the district ZF Makau district municipality. And this is to increase localization and the beneficiation of natural resources as well as capacity building and empowerment of marginalized groups. The approval to date is 50 million rands. No claims have been dispersed as yet. And the investment that has been projected is 382 million rands, with a projected number of jobs of 300 in the construction phase. The revitalization of the Upington Industrial Park aims to attract investors and boost the economy and reduce unemployment in the area. In particular, the IP Industrial Park intends to attract investors operating in renewable energy, aviation, agro-processing, automotive, and the business incubation. Next slide. The Western Cape municipal province has been supported by the CIP and the SEZ for bulk infrastructure for the West Coast district municipalities. And the for the creation of employment and social economic projects to uplift the local community. And the approval to date is 986 million rands. We've dispersed 580 million rands for projecting investment of 2.3 billion rands. The construction jobs supported were 100 and direct jobs 2,000. The project there that has been supported is the Motown Citrus, creating direct jobs through the production, packaging, and the export of citrus, and indirect jobs through companies in the area that procure raw materials, such as citrus juice extract for use in products for citrus flavored rooibos teas. In addition, the farms have been supported in the local area with socio-economic projects such as the multi-purpose facilities, sports facilities, cultural activities, internet services, education support, and healthcare assistance. Chair, this brings me to the end of the presentation. I think in conclusion, I would like to say that this is the incentive support provided by the DTIC, which directly relates to the infrastructure projects. The DTIC also offers a number of investment incentives that companies may participate in once they have established, you know, within the industrial parks and the IDZs. Chair, if I can then hand back to you for comments and questions supported by the IFB teams that will respond to financial support questions and the SIDET and IDC teams on the policy side. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. I don't know if Acting DG can would like to say some before I ask the members to ask questions. Want to round up?
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, from our side, I think that's the presentation. I think largely the presentation focus on the infrastructure incentives which we've deployed across the many different projects. And Chair, we are then open to take any questions or comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Khan. Honorable members, it's time for questions on the presentations. Take hands. Are there any questions? Honorable Mwimank?
Let me start by welcoming the presentation. And start by drawing the attention of the presenter to the slide. I think the second slide that spoke to number of SEZ, the one that speaks to the amount invested, the amount approved, and then the amount claimed, and the investment amount. This one that speaks to Tshwane, which creates a bit of I think it's a bit of confusion because it is lauded as one of the SEZ that is beginning to flourish. But now, if you compare the investment amount, it is 300 and something as compared to others in terms of the amount approved and the amount claimed. It looks like the investment amount is a bit it's a bit of a contradiction. Maybe if the team can just go to that slide, Chair. The second one relates to the Namakwa SEZ. If the team could just probably indicate what is the progress thus far in the Northern Cape, because during the provincial week, it was brought to our attention from the presentation that the assessment is done and they are awaiting the approval from the national department, from DTIC. If one could just get a sense in terms of between the March and today, has there been any improvement or any interaction between the unit and also the province? Then the next one, I don't know what happened to the Cape Industrial Park, because it looks like it has fallen from the radar. maybe if the team can probably give us a sense what will it entail in terms of preparing a business case for an industrial park. In terms of feasibility study, what will be the expected let's say cost related thereof? Is there a special team that can assist municipalities? Because in certain senses, we realize that the weaknesses might be on the part of the municipalities in terms of packaging their case to allow the department to be able to assist. So it would be more interested to get a sense. But then with the features around Kathu Industrial Park, because it is border between it operates within the Khamakhara corridor, which is it hosts one of the mining house Kumba. But on the other side, then there will be the Kalahari Manganese Basin, which is situated 40 kilometers from Kathu, and with the opportunities as raised within the original equipment manufacturers, it is an area definitely that from the department's commitment to deal with the structural constraints within our economy could be used to also transform the challenges related to job creation. And it's not only that, but from CAC, it will be Pulsman, which holds also a number of big mines. And the fact that it has fallen from the radar is a concern. Hence my question, what will it entail? What will it entail, Chair? The trucks that you see delivering iron ore and manganese in PE are from that area. And for the last 50 years, raw materials are just being transported. If it is not PE, this is Richards Bay, it is Saldanha. But nothing is done in terms of beneficiation, which explains the fact that at some point this region was identified as an integrated sustainable rural development program, precisely because of the poverty level in that district in the sea of manganese and iron ore. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mimak. And the next speaker is Honorable Dango, followed by Honorable Lont.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I just wanted to know, has the department ever considered using different margins when they funding different SEZs in different areas so as to attract entrepreneurs to move into areas that are not heavily populated or are not part of Gauteng, the Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal?
Are you done, Honorable Dan?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm done.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Honorable Lant.
Thanks and good morning. Chairperson, I've raised this at previous committee meetings, and I think this is something that we in this committee need to do more and more. Every single time we have any department or entity in front of us, we must ask ourselves and we must ask of them, what are they doing to address the growing unemployment rate that we have in this country? Because we are in a rut, we are in a lull with the unemployment rate that's just increasing, and every department, every entity that comes before us have all of these wonderful scenarios and plans on how to address this, yet our unemployment rate keeps on increasing. And if we talk specifically about the special economic zones, we also need to find out what is it that's being done in those special economic zones to make sure that we have more job opportunities that's been created, because the figures, I can't remember which slide it was, is quite high, indicating the money that's being spent in these areas. But the job opportunities is not aligning with that. And if we look at high, the high intensity industries like the manufacturing industry. I mean, here in the Western Cape, for instance, we had massive textile factories that over the years are just scaling down, and now there's a few pockets. But that is a high intensity, high job creating opportunity. And what's being done in each of these SEZ to make sure that, listen, we up the job opportunities, and how is that filtering down into the communities? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lount. I just see that taking from Honorable Moimang, some of the facts that have just been dropped. I see under Eastern Cape, there's a slide that talks the amounts. I think it's the first slide that talks the amount that have been allocated to SEZs and industrial parks. I think around the issue of SEZ performance, and then there's a slide, I think slide number 6 on the industrial park performance. You see the Dibaza industrial park claim an amount of 50 million. And then you report in terms of industrial infrastructure per province and district. All of a sudden, Dimbaza has disappeared. You've got Queen Industrial, Vulindlela, and Wild Coast. There's nothing about Dimbaza. I'm raising Dimbaza because this is how I judge the performance of industrial park, because it happens to be in the constituency where I'm deployed. So I see it every day. I'm there. I check the progress every day. So I always use it as a benchmark on the issue of industrial parks. The very one that I wanted to see on the slides. The only thing I see is the 50 million that they've received. I thought it was going then to be explained under the industrial infrastructure. What was it for? Because in others, you would say the top structure, the bulk infrastructure, you know, all those. So I wanted to check what the 50 million went to. But also these incentives went to the park infrastructure. It's not really much on the top structure, but also with regard to investment, it talks about a projected investment. It doesn't list as to currently and those that are operational, what investment has been put into those, maybe if there are any companies, foreign or domestic companies that are operating in those industrial parks, if we could have a list of all of them in each of the provinces, perhaps municipalities. Thank you very much. Back to you, Mr. Khan and the team.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and the members for those questions. Chair, if I can maybe just start quite quickly and maybe just, so this slide, the presentation provides an overview of sort of past performance in terms of how we've deployed the financial instruments to support companies and industrial parks. The question by Honorable Moimang on slide 4 around the investment value. The team managing the incentives, as they deploy any incentive support, there's a process from a governance point of view in which they actually track the actual investment that's happening on the ground. So slide 4 is literally the investment or the operational investment at this point in time. What's important to note that with regards to Shwane, Shwane has been, and I think we've indicated in the past to this committee as well, has been one of the successful SEZs in which we've sort of utilized this new framework in which all three spheres of government are involved in it. So the investment value at the for Shwane is in the region of around 20 billion rand. There is a $1 billion investment, around 16 billion rand from the OEM, and there's a further 4.5 billion rand from the various suppliers to that OEM. So that is quite a significant sum. The investment amount reflected on the slide is what the team tracks as operational investments. With regards to Shwane, there's currently three operational investments, and there's three operational investments. There's another 8 which would come on board by October this year, which will bring the total value to 11 operational investments in the course of this year. With regard to Namakwa, Chair, the application for Namakwa has been submitted, and the team have been working on that one. The team is also working quite closely with the province to ensure that there is a solid investment pipeline. I think, as we've indicated as well, I think when we last went to cabinet to designate SEZs, we've got a clear directive that before any SEZs are designated, there is a clear and a sound investment pipeline. So the team under the Deputy Director General, Mahutu Malafane, has been working quite closely with the province to drive that. Chair, the assistance, and I think that's a question which we've been trying to drive within the department, and the thing is, it's a very important one, because what we have done in this year's annual performance plan, we wanted to ensure that the impact of the DTIC's support goes beyond just the three broad provinces of Gauteng, KZN, and Western Cape. So in our new APP, one of our new APP targets is a revised spatial framework. And this is literally to see how best we can support companies located in districts. So it's part of the new district development model, but we're also going to literally work quite closely with municipalities and districts to ensure that our support goes beyond what we normally see. Chair, with regard to assistance, yes, the team can definitely provide that level of assistance, and this will be part of the new spatial strategy which we would be embarking in the course of this year, but also to ensure that our assistance is felt to all 52 districts across South Africa. Honorable Dango also raised quite an important question around the different margins of support. And here, Chair, this is part of what we aim to do as part of the new APP. Minister Patel was quite adamant that we do need a new spatial strategy. And even if you look at our APP this year, there's three core objectives which we are driving quite strongly. The first one being industrialization, the second, transformation. And within transformation, we're looking at three broad areas, which is ownership. We're looking at the structure, of the economy. And the third area is spatial transformation. And within this area, we are going to really look at a new model or a new framework that's going to drive spatial development. And then the last objective as part of the APP would be a capable state. And that's really to ensure that we do have the necessary foundation in order to drive these two broad objectives. The point by Honorable Lund, I think it's a very important point. Chair, we've also been, I think there was a number of PQs that recently came to the department, and I think the minister has quite eloquently responded to it. So within the DTIC's support, our support is conditional on a number of key elements. We as part of our industrialization, we support, our support is conditional on there must be localization and local development within the South African economy. Similarly, there must be transformation. And the last area is job creation. And any support that is provided is conditional that we address those areas. We've seen with the new reimagined industrial strategy, which form the core of the DTIC's work, the master plans which we've agreed with all our social partners really has jobs as the center of what we are trying to drive in alignment with the industrial development aspects. What I can say is that we've seen quite a number of successes in this area. And a good example would be, for example, the sugar master plan. And I'm using that to show you that in the social compact, which we have agreed with business and labor, there is a sugar transformation fund, which was agreed to the value of 1 billion rand. And within that 1 billion rand, this fund is provided by the sugar companies, which they have raised. And currently to date, 400 billion rand has been dispersed and approved to support black farmers as part of the supply chain in that area. So all our work has a very important job element tied to it. And that is part and fundamental, is a key element across all our programs. Honorable Chair, the one on Dumbaza, between I think slide on industrial parks and as well as the slide on the province, the Eastern Cape province. Chair, yes, Dumbaza is still part of our plans. I think that slide looked at really uplifting some case studies so that the honorable members will have a sense of what we are doing in those areas. But Chair, what I would kindly request with your permission is to maybe invite Ms. Stenika Jensma, who's on the call, if she could perhaps maybe just provide a bit more detail in terms of the work that has been scoped in the Dumbaza East Industrial Park, and to also to outline what are the future plans for that as well. Stenika, if I can perhaps maybe invite you at this point and Chair, then we could then hand back over to you.
Thank you, DDG. Good morning, members, and good morning, colleagues. With regards to the industrial parks, particularly Dumbaza, we have done quite extensive work. We have completed the first phase of revitalization on Dumbaza, and I had said this earlier on. The positive thing about that is that the province itself has now come on board, and the province has invested in revitalizing the industrial park as well. The province has committed 103 million towards the revitalization of Dumbaza, and they are bringing in what they're calling phase two, in addition to the work that we have done. But in addition to that, we have put a team together that is looking at supporting those industrial parks in the Eastern Cape, specifically focusing firstly on Dimbaza, given the demand there. So our team is going to be working together with the funders from the IDC. We are also talking to CIFA and combining this with the DTIC's Critical Infrastructure Fund. And we are going to look at how we can support them financially and also in other areas in terms of building their business plans and also looking at feasibility. The plan within Dimbaza is to grow an agro-processing component combined with aquaculture. So we are doing this as a joint effort, which the minister has tasked the team to do. Thank you, DDG.
Thank you, Stenika. Chair, I think we may have responded to all the questions at this stage. If we can hand over back to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Khan and the team. Honorable members, are there any follow-up questions? Honorable Dango?
Is the old legacy, Angie.
Oh, okay. Now then, if there are no follow-up questions, let me take this opportunity, Mr. Khan, to thank you and the team for the presentation. We will continue as a select committee to monitor the progress with regard to this SEZ and the industrial parks, and particularly the issue that Mr. Lund is referring to, the issue of job creation. Especially the SEZ, initially when they were established, they were linked to airports and seaports, but now you find them all over the places, even in inland. The issue that they were linked to airports and seaport was there, perhaps also for purposes of exports. But we need to look as we approve them, those that are inland, to check whether there is a road or rail infrastructure in those areas, so that we don't just have industrial parks and the SEZ when there is no road or rail infrastructure. Yeah. So I think those are some of the issues that we need to check. So I didn't want to ask whether those that are inland, are there any, is there any infrastructure that's, other than just the park infrastructure, which refers to water, electricity, and other things, but the issue of the roads and rail, yeah. Otherwise, thank you very much for the presentation and your attendance. Honorable members, I think at this stage we'll then release the department. And yeah, I don't know if Mr. Khan, you have any closing remarks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the points you've raised are very important, and I think the department can always come back and sort of be able to sort of map exactly what's the sort of the broad strategy which the department will be embarking on. Chair, I think what would be quite important for the committee is that once the department puts together this new spatial strategy, and I think it's very closely linked to the district development model, we would like to come back and really present it to yourself and get your guidance and inputs, because I think this will really change how the DTIC's support goes across the country. So I think that's quite important. And Chair, once we have the strategy in place, Chair, I would kindly request we come back, get your inputs into it as well, so that we ensure that as we drive this, our support is then felt across the country. Chair, with that point, Chair, I would like to then close and thank you once again for allowing us to present this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, the panel and the team. Honorable members, I think we also to attend the meeting, we will refer or defer all the minutes to the next meeting. We agree with the staff that because of the debates that are taking place, members should have enough time after the committee meeting to make preparations and the final touch-ups. We'll then deal with the minutes in the meeting when there is no budget for debate. Otherwise, we're coming to the end of the meeting. It was a very short meeting. Thank you very much. We'll see each other in the afternoon when we debate the budget vote for the DTIC and also the human settlement. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. See you this afternoon, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Let's meet at 2:00.
Thank you.